Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
How do you feel about kids?
Oh my gosh, I absolutely love them. That's my main number one thing right now, cultivating myself to get prepared for that. And I don't have that much time, so.
Me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
I want kids.
Okay. How many?
Maybe three.
Okay.
I think three is
I mean, you're extremely youthful and fun, so, you know, I don't think that would be a problem.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I really, really am.
That's right.
So I'm open. I'm ready.
Are you indeed? You know the show. That's an excerpt from the popular Ready to Love reality series where couples meet, try to connect, and vote each other off the program as they try to find love. But in real life, dating is a tad bit more complicated. In a lot of cases, singles bring more than muscles and a beautiful smile to the dating table. Some are dragging some serious baggage, burdens, and bitterness from all kinds of problems, past and present. So how do you work on you so that you can be the very best you when you decide to date? Well, my guests have a lot to say about that when it comes to this issue. Monique Kelly is a dating expert, author, and blogger for Confessions of a Serial Dater in L.A., and Paul Bishaya Williams is a therapist and author of Dear Future Wife, A Man Guide, and Woman's Reference to Healthy Relationships. Are you ready to date? Or do you have some things to work on first? We're talking about it. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Monique and Paul, hey, thank you for joining the program.
Thanks for having us. How you doing, gentlemen? It's nice to be the only lady with all these wonderful guys.
Yes, well, let us hope that you have some answers for all of don't get too excited yet. Because we're about to bring it. So
I believe it. Yeah. Let me get ready.
Yeah, that's right. Buckle up. Okay, so Monique, let me start with you. We know that everyone wants to be with someone in some way, shape, or form. But how do you know when you are ready for a relationship?
You know, I always like to say the key is acknowledging that you are ready for a relationship. That's the first step. Because for a lot of people, they're scared to acknowledge it. They're honestly not ready to be in a relationship. But when you make up in your mind, I'm ready for a relationship, that's the first step. And then that's when the work starts, where you start thinking about where you are currently in your life and are you emotionally, mentally, spiritually ready for a connection with someone, and you have to do self-evaluation.
But how do you know that? It's one thing to look in the mirror and say, yes, I am ready. But a lot of people find that navel gazing to be a little difficult and indeed may not really be ready to tell themselves the truth.
Right. You have to do the work. So there's a process that I always talk about. The first thing is, you know, reflecting on your past relationships, seeing what those past relationships had in common in terms of red flags. See if you were dating the same person. Maybe the person looked different, had a different height, was a different complexion, but was it actually the same person? Understand why you were attracted to someone with the same red flags. Reevaluate your relationship. Reevaluate the things you didn't like about yourself in that relationship. A lot of times we talk about the person we were dating and we talk about what they did to us. But in every relationship, there's one common denominator, and that's you. So you have to start looking at what are some of the patterns I have had in relationships that I need to change. And literally, I suggest women writing it down on a piece of paper, being honest with themselves, writing it down, and then also speaking it out loud so you can hear yourself going through the process, and then ripping that paper up and then writing down what you want in your next relationship, what's important to you, who do you want to be in that next relationship. And sometimes it also might mean getting that extra therapy. There's nothing wrong with seeking therapy and just really doing that work on yourself so you are ready for that next relationship. And I want to be clear, just because you get yourself ready and you're ready for that next relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person you end up with is just as ready as you and have done the work. The hope is that you both are ready at the same time. That's the hope.
Mm. So, Paul, as a therapist, does every person need therapy before going into a relationship? You know the saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So do you need to slow down and get on someone's couch before you go into your next relationship? And what determines whether or not you need therapy or whether or not you just need to sit still for a while?
So it really depends. And people automatically think about therapy. I had to go to therapy because I'm having some trauma. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I have some clinical diagnosis. But that's not always what therapy is. Like, I have people come into my session and just need a safe space to talk. So if you feel like you have some things maybe from your past, maybe your parents, maybe your friends, community, whatever it is, that you said, you know what, I want to really evaluate, why am I responding this way? Why does this always trigger me to do something? Like, then I can come to therapy and we can unpack that and we can process that. We can come up with new coping mechanisms, coping skills, whatever that is, how it shows up in relationship. Because the biggest thing that people need to understand is you can feel like you're all ready to date. You can feel like you're all ready for a relationship. And a lot of times what happens is there's another level of healing that happens within a relationship. Because right now, when you're single, you're not triggered. You're in full control of what's happening to you, around you, and all of that. But once you get into a relationship and somebody does something, that might trigger something that happened in the past. And now we're developing skills of how do I respond to it differently this time? How do I be proactive as opposed to reactive to something that somebody does that doesn't really feel good?
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about relationships tonight. Are you ready to date, or do you have some things to work on before you do that? And how do you figure it out? Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Paul, you remember when we were in our high school, we were in our 20s, and you broke up with, you know, your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever it was. And it may have been your first love or your second love or your fifth love, whatever. And you broke up, and then you went, if you needed to talk to somebody, you know, you talked to your best boy or your best girl or your parents even, and they said it'll get better, and you kind of picked up and kept it moving. But now you're in your 30s, 40s, and in some cases in your 50s, and that same kind of heartbreak is so much more devastating. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, a lot of times we don't really heal from that first breakup because we don't have the education. Like, you talk about parents. Like, I interviewed somebody recently, and they were saying that their heart was broken their very first breakup. They were in their early teens. And the message that their mother gave was, there's more out there. Like, minimize what you're experiencing. There's more out there. So from that point, his thought process was, anytime that something wasn't right, I'm just going to go get another one. So you're operating out of that. You're operating out of avoidance. You really didn't process that. So it's compounded trauma from a breakup. Until we sit back and sit with that thing and say, you know what, this really hurts, and I want to shift and I want to move and I want to renew my thought process and I want to work on my emotional memory. I want to work on the lessons as opposed to the damage that happened in those relationships. We're going to stay stuck and we're going to keep responding the way that we responded the first time it happened.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Are you ready to date, or do you need to fix some things inside you before you go outside into the dating world? Janice calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello. So I have a quick question if I need to actually get therapy first. I feel like my relationships are actually just failing just because my father has not been in my life. So I feel like I'm just looking for love kind of in the wrong places. So I just want to know, what would be your advice? Do you think someone that has not had their father in their life, do they need therapy first? Or do you think they should just jump into a relationship?
Monique and then Paul, please.
You know, a lot of us
females definitely have those abandonment issues from not having a father in our life, or having a father in our life that was here sometimes and gone other times. And I absolutely, wholeheartedly believe that that definitely lays the foundation in terms of how you approach relationships and the men that you pick. And until you dissect that, it will continue to haunt you in your future relationships. So what I love about your question is you're fully aware that this is an issue, and being aware of it being an issue is the first step. And therapy will do so many things to dissect that. And I'm sure, Paul, you'll agree. Sometimes you go to therapy, you think you're going for one thing, and if you have a good therapist, they'll start dissecting other things and other layers that you didn't even know you had issues with. So that's the first step, and definitely therapy will help you with that, and it will help you in your future relationship.
Mm-hmm. Paul?
Absolutely. I think you said it perfectly. And it was less about not having your dad in your life, but you identified what the problem is, what the issue is. And a lot of times we date from our wounds, right? Our wounds choose our relationship partners. And so we're looking to have that wound covered and healed outside of ourselves when we really need to work on ourselves and show that's not, so our wound is not choosing our mate. So you said pretty much everything that I was going to say. Definitely, you've identified it. Go see a therapist, have a conversation, and work on that.
Paul, can you give me an example of that dating from our wounds? That's a novel idea, at least to my ears. What does that mean?
So I use a personal example. So if I had a breakup a long time ago, right? So I'm dating from a deficit, I'm dating from my wounds. So maybe there was some infidelity. Right. And so now I'm looking for someone to cover that infidelity. Like I'm insecure about a certain thing. Like I don't want to deal with anybody who has a social media presence because my wound is showing up. And that's this, that fear that says, you know what? You can't date anyone with a social media presence because there's an opportunity for them to cheat every time they log on. So now my wound is choosing someone who just doesn't have a social media presence. And I might be ignoring other things in that relationship. Because my wound is just looking to be covered.
Johnny, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about dating. Are you ready to do it, or do you have some things that you must fix first before you get out there with the hot girl, hot boy summer? Giovanni, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Giovanni. What's on your mind? Giovanni, are you there? Okay, give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Monique, do you think people know how to be single? And in your mind, what does that mean?
Yes. So being single is definitely a process. And as we know, being single this last year was a completely different process. But with my whole mission, my whole purpose is making people embrace wherever they are in their single journey, okay? So being single, there are days that you love being single. You are feeling yourself. You're looking good. You're feeling good. You're meeting people. It's just, you're just having a good time. But then there's other days when you're single. Maybe you were hopeful about a situation and it didn't pan out. And you get tired of the disappointment, the devastation, the heartbreak, and having to get on this hamster wheel called dating. And I think it's important that singles also acknowledge those times when they have what I call dating depression, where they're over it. And I find a lot of times singles struggle with admitting when they're going through dating depression because singles have this pressure they put on themselves to act like they're living their best life and not being present in their feelings, right? So the first thing is being present in your feelings. The next thing is just because you're single does not mean that you have to wait to do the things that you want to do if you had a boo. So I always tell ladies that if you want to go to a nice restaurant, learn how to take yourself out to dinner and sit there and be okay having dinner by yourself. Learn those recipes, those romantic recipes you want to meet when you have your man. Take yourself out on a beach picnic. Learn how to be comfortable doing things by yourself so that when you finally get the right boo, they are enhancing your life. You're already enjoying your life. You've gone through the ups and downs, the dating depression, the excitement, the being okay by yourself. So that person simply enhances your life, and you're ready to have a partner once you're ready and once you've enjoyed being by yourself at the same time.
What do you think about that, Paul, about understanding what singleness is? If you may on one hand say you're fine with it, but you're walking out and your head is on a swivel.
I think really identifying, like when you said, like you said, identifying what single is. What is single to you? Does single mean that I'm totally removed from dating? Does single mean that I'm dating several people and I'm single until I have a committed relationship? Some people say I'm single until I get married. So really identify what single means to you and agree with whoever you try to date. You know, come into agreement with that, because if you're honest with yourself. And some people say they're single because they're avoiding hurt.
Well, hold that point, Paul. Hold that point. Don't forget, because I want you to finish that. We want to let Lorenz and David on the line. We want to let them know that we want them to hang on, because we're going to take their questions. So please don't hang up. We are going to take a break. And we want to remind you that this program will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. And you can download the 96.3 HD2 app to your smartphone and hear the program in its entirety live. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about taking care of your inside before you go outside looking for a date. My guests are Monique Kelly. She is a dating expert, author, and blogger for Confessions of a Serial Dater in L.A., and Paul Bishaya Williams. He is a therapist and author of Dear Future Wife, A Man Guide, and A Woman's Reference to Healthy Relationships. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Go ahead, Paul, finish your point.
So, again, being very honest about where you are and knowing that you, if you choose to be single, it's because you want to work on yourself, it's because you're focused on something, but not because you're avoiding. I think some people decide to be single because they're afraid of getting hurt. So now I'm in this protective shell where I'm not allowing myself to live. I spend some time by myself just, you know, really enjoying what it means to be single, what I don't have a responsibility of a relationship. Not feeling like I always have to take care or have to show up and sacrifice certain things that I needed to work on. And then I got resentment towards the person because I haven't done the work for myself. So if we really identify the reason why we're single and being committed to that and choosing that and allowing yourself to be in that space, it's okay.
Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on, David. What's on your mind?
Well, I kind of know my problem. I just give my all every time, and some people can accept it and some people can't, but I'm just 100% truthful. If I'm dating five people, I'm dating five people. I'm not sleeping with none of them, so, you know, I'm stuck in that in between.
What about that, Monique, for people who do, you know, give their all, who are honest, who are transparent, who just say, you know, this is where I am, and yeah, I'm interested in you, come with it. Why is it that those kinds of situations sometimes fail?
Well, first of all, I can appreciate the fact that he's upfront. From the very beginning, he's saying, I'm dating a bunch of different people, five people. I'm not sleeping with anyone, but I just want to be honest with you. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing. I appreciate the honesty. And for some women, you know, that's called dating. At the end of the day, when you're dating, it's kind of like you date until you meet that person where you do not have a desire to want to date anyone else. And then you guys have honest conversations about where the relationship is, what you guys both want out of it, and if you both agree to those terms, you move forward. But he has to understand, for some women, it doesn't make them feel comfortable knowing you're dating five other women. You know what I'm saying? And that just because you're being honest does not mean that they have to accept the situation.
Yeah, especially if she's only dating two guys.
Right. Exactly.
You're dating five. I'm only dating two. Come on. You need to get rid of at least three of them.
But at least he's being honest about it. And being, sometimes people feel like, well, I'm being honest about a situation, so because I'm honest about it, they should be okay with it. Just because you're honest doesn't mean that someone has to accept the situation. Thank you for your honesty, and I choose that this either A, works for me, or B, doesn't.
Paul?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, exactly. Just because you're honest doesn't mean I have to accept that. And to have to give your all to five different people, six different, that's exhausting. So are you really showing up in the places that you need? Because sometimes if one person doesn't have one thing, then I'm going to rely on the other one. But I'm not really getting to know that person because I'm hopping, and I'm looking to fill or to cover or to protect or to run from or whatever that is, that I never really get to have a real true relationship with one person because I'm trying to get so much from so many different people, and I'm exhausting myself by giving so much to so many different people.
So should David just get rid of three of them?
Okay. Well, if he says he's good with it, that's his choice. But again, like we were saying, being honest is one thing. Giving your all, you have to also identify, why are you giving your all to so many different people? Because that's what I hear as well. That is a complete, it sounds like it's awesome. You might be able to keep that up. But it's something that's missing and something that you're looking for, and you might not be able to find it because you're looking so many different places.
Hang in there, David.
He has five people he needs to entertain.
Yeah, talk about hot boy summer. He had a hot boy winter. I don't know what's going on with that. David, hang in there. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lorenz, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Lorenz. What's on your mind?
Good evening, and thank you for taking my call. I wanted to comment on the comment you made about it hurting so much when you're 30 and 40 and 50 and you unwittingly allow yourself to fall in love. And I think it's because, for me, you feel stupid. You feel dumb. You feel like, dang, I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, and I should have known. I should have had my wits more about me and stuff as far as the love game and stuff, you know. And I have come to realize that we're all human, and as long as we live, we're going to learn and make mistakes. And we just have to accept that, you know, it's going to be a part of life and stuff for you. And as long as you're living, you're going to be liking somebody, no matter what. So...
Okay, I like that, Lorenz. Thank you so much for your comment. And to that point, Paul, if you realize that you've done the work, and then you get back out there in these mean love streets, what should you look for? And I want Monique to answer this as well. And how should you look? Because I think some, you don't want to go out like a bitter Bob or be so, a lot of folks say, well, you know, hey, look, I'm just hanging, we're just chilling and what have you. But if you like the person, then you begin to look for, search, scrutinize, side eye, look askance. Well, how many other phrases can I use? How do you keep from doing that?
Well, I don't think you necessarily have to stop doing that. I think you have to be more vocal and honest and upfront when you do see those things. Because a lot of people think everything is a red flag, but sometimes those things are conversations. So, and we wait too long to have the necessary conversation, and by that time, we build up resentment, we build up patterns, we allow certain things to happen, and then we get to a point where the other person is like, well, why didn't you say that the first time I did it? And now we're arguing about why it didn't happen back then as opposed to addressing the issue. So once you went through a certain amount of things, now you can say, hey, this doesn't work for me. This triggers. This doesn't feel good. Let's talk about it. And then we can build from there, because relationships can survive arguments. There are going to be arguments a lot. There are going to be arguments even if you're married. What they can't survive is the threat of leaving. So now I'm able to talk about, hey, this will work better for me. Don't talk from a deficit saying you always doing this, or if you do this, I'm going to leave. Say, hey, this is what I need to stay. So your conversation shifts from your, again, the damages and the pain and the trauma. It shifts to where you want the relationship to go.
What do you say about that, Monique?
You know, I was thinking about this because a lot of times we go back to what we talked about in the beginning of the show. You know, when you've been single for a while and you've done the work, you have looked at yourself, you've gone to the therapy, and you are really ready emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically to be in a relationship. And then you meet someone and you click and it is just everything you thought it would be. And then suddenly there's a 180 that happens and the relationship doesn't work out. And you're sitting up here thinking, man, I've done the work on myself. I was the best version of myself in this relationship, and it still didn't work out. I think that's why sometimes it's more hurtful when you get older and a relationship doesn't work, especially when you've done the work. But understanding that it's about your partner doing the work as well, and understanding that sometimes relationships don't work and it's not your fault. It's not their fault. It's just that they're not in the right place, because some people are not as aware as you are. And it's about making it about who you are in the relationship, what you learned from it, and how you move past it and how you can be better in the next relationship, or how you can check out certain things that you might have ignored in the beginning, making sure you don't ignore them in the next relationship.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about dating and working on you, working on your insides before you go outside to the dating world. Lynn, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you know, I'm listening to this. I wasn't going to call in, but...
But I'm so glad you did.
No, yeah, I am too. I have a love interest, I guess, in the back burner, and I'm waiting for that to, I guess, build up. It could, maybe it couldn't. I don't know. But it's always good to at least have an interest, okay? Mm-hmm. And I say that to say this. A lot of people are dating. The gentleman that called before, he said he had 5 women that he was dating and is basically up front. I don't have a problem with that, as long as you do let the person know. However... we need to start talking about with the way the situation that we're in, the pandemic, COVID, and different types of protections that we should start really looking at when we're talking about dating. Everybody's talking about dating. We need to talk about maybe getting testing, maybe before you start maybe becoming intimate anymore. You know, getting testing for HIV, getting testing, just a line of tests, chlamydia.
So let me stop you there, Lynn. Lynn, let me stop you there. I think you're right, and I think those are important. But we're talking about head stuff. We're talking about what's going on between your ears, what's happening in your heart.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, have you been vaccinated? How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that? Yeah, I get it. But what we're talking about is doing the emotional work and making sure that before you even deal with all of those other kinds of things, before you go out there, what's happening what's happening in your head and your heart. Not discounting what you say at all, but this is definitely a piece about emotions, about the mental and emotional health that you must address before you meet somebody that you can talk to about HIV, chlamydia, COVID, all of those other things. But thank you. Yeah, I appreciate your phone call. I do, Monique, I need you to solve or settle something that a debate that I have actually had for a long, long time with some friends. And this has to very well do with some of the things that we're discussing today in reference to, are you ready? Were you dealing with suspicions and safety and all of these other kinds of things? So here's my question. And this is really as it relates to women. They meet somebody and he's, you know, wonderful, and you get his name and you want to Google him. You want to do a background check, and you can just do that online. Here's my question. If you meet the person and you start enjoying their company 2 weeks, 3 weeks, do you tell them that you're going to do it?
This is the problem I have with social media. Social media is a blessing and a curse, right? Because your social media presence is not you. Mm-mm. It is a representation of you. It is what you want the world to see. It is not the intimate you. It is not your inner feelings. Even the people who try to pretend by putting up all these, you know, passionate quotes and all this other foolery, at the end of the day, social media is not you. And obviously you're going to be curious. You're going to want to see what's up and do your little social media dive. Do you tell them you did a social media dive?
I'm not talking about social media. No,
what are you talking about?
I'm talking about background check.
Okay, for me, I'm like, let's go on dates. Let's get to know each other. Unless there's a safety issue, then that's a whole nother situation of terms of if you even need to be going out with the person. But what happened to the old school way of dating? And I always say, I've said this last time I was on the show, Harold, there's certain things about old school that worked for a reason, okay? There's something beautiful about sitting down with someone, looking them in the eye, getting to know them on a intimate one-on-one date where you are having real conversations and getting to know them. There might be things in their past that you might find in a background check, but why not talk to them ahead of time? They might explain something where you could be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But you're not even giving someone an opportunity to explain themselves. You're doing all the research yourself instead of getting to know someone authentically. And that's a lost art form that needs to come back. I'm not saying for you to be blind and go into a situation where your safety is at risk, but what I am saying is be vulnerable, be open, be willing to take a risk and learn how to date someone authentically.
That goes back to the very heart of that particular question, Paul. Mm-hmm. And she said, Monique said something that is just critical. How can you be vulnerable and still protect yourself? I agree with you, Monique, and you know, I believe in, you know, the old school courtship and, you know, and all of that. But I also think if you decide that you're going to check on someone's background, ask them about it first. I think it just as a courtesy and, you know, and then kind of see where the chips fall, whether you get deer in the headlights or not. But again, Paul, to the point that Monique was making about being vulnerable and open, how do you do that? There have to be layers to vulnerability, degrees of that.
Absolutely. And as a therapist, and I'm sure people have heard this before, just vulnerability is a strength. And vulnerability is my responsibility.
What do you mean by that?
So no one can, anything that I share and you decide to do something like abusive towards it, you're identifying that you're not a safe person. So that doesn't take away my vulnerability. That just takes away my vulnerability with you. But I'm still strong enough to share what I need to share because I need to see how safe I can be with you. So you're just eliminating yourself and you're identifying yourself as a person that I no longer want to be with, I no longer want to build with. And that's what happens is we're afraid to share something when that's an opportunity to reveal each other to each other. Mm-hmm. So now if I'm vulnerable, go ahead.
No, finish your point, please.
No, so if now I'm vulnerable, I'm actually in my strength, right? Because I can protect myself regardless of your response. I know I'm still good because that thing that I'm sharing is true. That thing that I'm sharing is real. It's something that I experienced, something that I struggle with, whatever that is. And if you can't accept that, then we know who we are and where we stand.
Hmm. Maybe you could share another example of what someone may share that would make them vulnerable, that would show their vulnerability. And I'm not talking about fake vulnerability, or, you know, something that is just, okay, it may seem as if it is a tender part of their personality, but the reality is they really don't care. But with something that is really vulnerable that would open the door to more conversation and to see whether or not that person is safe for you. And indeed, there are some people who absolutely refuse to be vulnerable. Do you just back away from that?
Well, that's up to that person, whatever that relationship is. If they're not being vulnerable, they're not being open to you, then you have to decide, is that something that you can live with for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. And you can also decide, I can walk away. So like a vulnerable moment, which happens a lot in, you know, with clients and stuff like that, and just people in general, people are very vocal about, you know, abuse. Like if they've been sexually abused and someone can talk about, hey, I don't like that because this would happen to me when I was younger. Like you have to give me some time and some patience to really work around this thing. Because sometimes what happens is we don't share certain parts of us and we stay in discomfort. Like we're uncomfortable because when a guy or a woman walks behind their partner and touches them, they're startled.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened to them when they were younger. But if I share that, hey, we got to figure this out because I want to be vulnerable. I want to be intimate with you. I want all those surprises. But let me tell you why it's going to be a hard process for me to do that. Are you willing to walk me through this? Because I need to build this trust. And the trust is not about anything that you've broken, but the trust was broken a long time ago. So I'm still in repair mode. But I would love for you to be beside me and help me walk through this thing.
Hmm. Monique, let's talk about something that's really very specific. And we'll talk about women. If mm-hmm. you date the same kind of man, And I'm not even talking about someone who is abusive, but you date the same kind of man. You like what you like. He's mm-hmm. got to be 6'4". He's got to have a beard. He's got to be coffee bean brown and, you know, the whole bit. But, you know, he's got to, but you want him to be, you know, this level of education, but not the next level or not less than that. But those kinds of things, and some of those things are obviously considered, you know, esoteric. That's not who that person may be naked. And when I say naked, I'm talking about their personality, their spirit, their soul, and all of those other kind of things. But if you keep dating the same kind of guy and it keeps failing, is that work that you need to do? Do you need to change your preferences? Do you need to go to Giant instead of Wegmans when you're in the produce department? How do you deal with that?
So I always talk about two things when it comes to dating. One is dating delusion.
What does that mean?
Dating delusion is when women have delusional expectations or delusion of grandeur about who they should be dating and what they deserve. Like, a perfect example is a crazy example, but it is a real example. Someone's like, oh my goodness, I love Idris Elba before he got married.
Stopped loving him after that. He didn't pick you.
Okay. And then a woman is thinking in her mind, if I meet Idris Elba, I just have to be in the same room. If I'm with him in the same room, he sees me, we'll lock eyes, we fall in love. Idris ends up marrying Sabrina, and a lot of women were like, oh my goodness, I lost my chance. Had I only been in the same room with him, it would have worked. and they have these long, ignorant lists of what a man should be and what they're looking for. Half the time, for some of these women, they're not even bringing half of what they're asking for to the table themselves, but they have this long list, right? And they have, that's what I call dating delusion. It's not really realistic. It doesn't evolve. It doesn't change. That's dating delusion. Now, I'm very clear. If you're attracted to someone, you need to date someone you're attracted to. As a single person, it's frustrating when people are always like, well, you should try to date him, you know, give him a chance. When you know good and well, you wouldn't have touched the same man with a 10-foot pole. So don't insult your single friends by suggesting they date someone that they are not at all attracted to and that is not at all attractive. However, I encourage women, instead of this list, to think about their non-negotiables. Think about what's important to you. A lot of women have these long, unrealistic, ignorant, delusional lists that are impossible to fulfill. But if you focus on your non-negotiables and what your non-negotiables are for you, then that's more realistic and a more realistic approach to dating. But by no means do I suggest that anyone, man or woman, date someone that they are not attracted to. That's just not fair.
Hmm. A good friend of mine, Paul, always asks this question. We had these conversations, you know, frequently, and she asks the rhetorical question, would you date you? Is that a good question, Paul? And how do you answer it? And if because the first thing you would say is, well, yes, I would. But how do you drill down on those things?
Right. And we're talking about being honest with ourselves and really spending time with ourselves and knowing ourselves and asking ourselves. Because at one time, I wouldn't date me. Like, I knew I had some work I had to do. I just wasn't ready, and I didn't need to be dating anyone because I was recovering and healing. So if I'm able to say that, I know what I need to work on. I know, like you said, non-negotiables. I know that I'm not tied to the outcome, or I'm not dating just to fill the fantasy of marriage. Like, I'm dating to date the person, to get to know the person, to build, and then I can get to the place where I'm saying, will you marry me? Let's get married. Let's whatever that looks like. But dating you, because we need to date ourselves a little bit. We need to go into the places that we like and spend some time with us and see how that feels just to be alone. We might need to take the solo trip and enjoy and just experience what you like about yourself and what you don't like about yourself, what you're willing to accept, because you're going to have another person in your space. You're talking about they're going to be there and taken away from some of the things that you like to do by yourself. Are you willing to share that? Are you willing to really submit to some certain things, because we have to. We're not going to always have it our way. And how can I be okay with doing that, knowing that I can get it somewhere else within the relationship?
How do you know that the work that you're doing is done, Monique?
You know the work that you're doing is done when there's a certain amount of peace to yourself in terms, even before you meet that person, even as you're dating. And it's nothing serious yet, but there's a certain amount of peace. You don't have that same anxiety of, oh, goodness, I'm so ready to get married. I want this. I want that. I want this. I'm trying to control every situation. Blah, blah. You know that constant chatter in your head where you're trying to control a situation, but you're at peace with how it flows. And that when you meet that person and it feels right, you recognize it. You allow yourself to be vulnerable. You allow yourself to enjoy it. And then also, here's the sad reality. Sometimes you are together, you've done your work, and it doesn't work out. How do you handle that disappointment? How do you handle that hurt and that heartbreak? How do you bounce back from that and get yourself ready for the next relationship and be okay? So it's all about being at peace wherever you are in the present moment in the process.
How do you do that if it doesn't work out? How do you handle that?
You know, you allow yourself to grieve the disappointment. You allow yourself to cry. You allow yourself to talk to trusted girlfriends who are not haters, who are not going to give you ignorant advice, who are not going to be bitter and be like, girl, forget. But real, like, genuine girlfriends, you know, like, that are loving and understanding and, you know, that still have hope. You allow yourself to go through the process. You don't beat yourself up. You congratulate yourself for the fact that you can look in the mirror and say, I was my best version of me in that relationship. I don't hate this person. They just weren't ready. And I'm going to grieve the ending of this, and I'm going to look forward to what's next.
Yeah. Paul, 30 seconds. I'll let you have a final word about the working on the inside before you go outside to date.
Yes, definitely. Take responsibility for where you're at. Identify your triggers. Identify where you learn how to date, where you learn how to relationship, and decide what you want to do next. Mm-hmm. And patiently meet the person that's going to be agreeable to the things that you want in a relationship.
Paul Bishay-Williams, Monique Kelly, I want to thank both of you for, you know, talking to us tonight, talking through some of the chaos, foolishness, and the potential love that you may find in the streets, you know, for the rest of your life. Woo! For all the bitter Bettys and bitter Bobs, don't be. There is hope. Thank you, folks. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, April 30th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.